1. I'm going to lead you to quite a few scripture verses this morning, give you a few quotes from other people who are writing books who may help us to understand a few things, and then together we can look at and say, wow, what an awesome God we serve. May I start out with Ephesians, the church itself. When the Apostle Paul wrote that letter, we don't know in what kind of shape the church was in, but we do know that Paul never wrote anything to any church without a very specific purpose. And obviously the Holy Spirit motivated him. In this church, there were two major things which we can see very quickly. Starts out the way Paul starts the letter, and then in the sixth chapter, how the battle is intense. He's talking about the spiritual battle. And in chapter 1, he's telling us that the major thing the church forgets is who we are in the Lord Jesus. Who are we? We are not non-denominational. We are not Baptist. We are not Catholic. We are not Methodist. We are none of that. We are children of the living God who have all the promises he has ever made, inherited, not because of anything we deserve it, but because he ordained it. It's that simple. We need to understand that. Every day when we get up, we need to remind ourselves, because this world would like to tell us otherwise. So in chapter 1, verses 3 to 22, this is the whole chapter without the introduction. He goes on, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." Let me stop there quickly for a second. There's a lot of things to absorb. If you ever want to read a commentary on the book of Ephesians, buy the 8 volumes from Martin Lloyd-Jones. He took 6 chapters in the Bible and he wrote 8 volumes of 300 some pages each. You talk about in-depth studies. But I can summarize it this morning to you that there are things in the world we're living in where people like to somehow unite all things for themselves. Here, Paul says 2,000 years ago, in the fullness of time, God will unite all things unto himself. Before that happens, there are other people, spiritual beings who are rebellious against God, coming, trying to accomplish that before Jesus comes back. Let me tell you something. It is going to look like that they are succeeding. People ask me all the time, and these are Christians and non-Christians alike, "So what do you think? Is there any hope for us in America?" My standard answer to everybody is always the same. You were on the receiving end probably already once or twice when I said, "God will never part the Red Sea unless his people are there and they need the miracle." All these things that happen in the Bible are for our admonition, for our learnings. God will not move on our behalf when we are having it easy cruising. He won't perform the miracles necessary for us to cross when we are there. "Get out of Egypt. Follow me." Oh man, God doesn't know what he's doing. Look, we're in a mess now. While the walls are front, Egyptian chariots in the back, how in the world can we escape? God said, oh, you finally got it. Hold on for a second. Stand still and see the salvation which I will accomplish for you today. The Egyptians which you see today, you shall see tomorrow no more. This is God speaking through Moses. You and I need to understand God has a plan. And he said right here, in the fullness of time, he will put that all together and he will call it all to himself. Paul goes on, in him, that's in Jesus, in verse 11, we have obtained, listen, not will obtain, not maybe, not when you don't feel like it, you don't get it. He said, we have obtained, that's a past act, it's done. An inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who walks or works all things according to the counsel of his will. Aren't you glad God is not working according to our counsel? He is working according to his counsel, according to his will. Why? So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Listen, if all the counsel we want to give God, all the prayers we say, and we try to somehow say to God, you don't get it. I'm living down here in America. I see what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. God, don't you open up your eyes and see what's going on? That's how we pray, that's how we act, that's how we talk, that's how we put on social media all the stuff. Seems like when I see these things, I think, does anybody believe that God is in charge? Or do you really think you're in charge? Here it says, it's according to his counsel, according to his will. Why? Because the glory goes to him. If it would be according to man's counsel, who do you think will get the glory? God will not gonna allow it to happen. He goes on to say, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. It's all done, it's all ordained, it's all in the hopper. You and I just have to trust God. It will come to pass. Has God ever made a promise and didn't keep it? No, it's our impatience that makes us move in all kinds of different directions. And we make a mess out of it. Let God do it. He made the promise. He said, I will do it and you will inherit exactly what I told you. Or we sing that song. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Correct? Not what we have prepared, what God has prepared. We will acquire possession of it. So, and Paul could have stopped there and said, okay, guys, I think you got it. You have enough material to preach for the next 6 years. I'll be back. No, Paul goes in verse 15 and says, for this reason, because I know this is all true. I know this is reality and you don't see reality. He said, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul is such a scholar. He says, he just puts it in there. Most Christians don't even get it when they read it. Paul said, genuine prayers, communication with God, starts with praise and thankfulness, not with requests. He said, I don't cease to give thanks. In the first Sunday of 2021, anyone of you can think of one thing you can praise God for? He said, I remember in the prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, then he has a list of what he wants us to get. Not that we have already gotten the promise, but we forget about it. That he may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. When Paul said revelation and knowledge of him, that's not, you know, I want to see what tomorrow brings. I want to see what's going to do, what God is going to do 20 years from now. I want to see how Jesus comes back. I want to see. No. It's the revelation of him. The eyes are on him. He said, because the spirit of wisdom is not found anywhere else. How many of you have looked at 2020? I don't know if you have taken a little time before the year slipped to the new one. How many of you have thought a few moments how foolish the leaders of the world are? Obviously, they need the wisdom. And that includes of any kind leadership, especially the church leaders. They are some of the most foolish guys in 2020 I have ever seen what they do. They don't seek the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Listen, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. That's a beautiful philosophical language. It means that you can see beyond than what the eye can see. Jesus said it this way. All those who have eyes to see, let them see. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. He didn't say they didn't have eyes or they didn't have ears. He said they have eyes and can't see. They have ears but can't hear. And Paul said, all that maybe our eyes be open to the reality of what God has prepared for those who love him. Or that they may hear the truth. You know, I'm preaching to you this morning the word of God. You can listen, you can analyze, you can do anything. And you can walk out of here and get not an ounce of movement towards God. Because you thought, this is not for you. You thought, I don't need that. I'm doing fine. I tell you what, my friend. You can wake up tomorrow morning and you're not doing that fine. You have no control over it. Have your eyes open. Have your ears open to what the Spirit has to reveal to us. Enlightened. That means light comes in. That's what that means. There's a dark spot. When light comes in, you can see. And what's the reason? That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. That's the goal. That you may know the hope why he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? Whoop! Stop right there. I would have another sermon right there if I would love to, but I give you a summary. This is the reason here why the church is not where the church ought to be. They do not have their eyes open, or can't they hear? Listen to what Paul said. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? The church has not revealed the power of God in 2020, in America especially. Bunch of cowards doing what the world is saying, rather than standing up and say, my God is greater than any circumstance. I don't trust political leaders. I don't trust religious leaders. I don't trust anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. These are times when you and I need to be men. Listen to me, men. We need to be men. Standing up. My prayer is almost every day for all of you men. Oh God, give them a little bit more steel in the backbone. They're bending way too fast. And I'm not talking about arrogancy. God forbid, that will take you down. But being strong in the power, knowing it's his power. For 10 weeks on Wednesday night, we were looking at it from biblical perspective. It is not us being busy. It is us trusting God. It is much easier to be busy. Husband, listen to me. It is so much easier to go out and work and bring money home than being the man God wants you to be. Any idiot can work and can make money. You can be the most incredible man when it comes to education and providing, and you still can be a nobody in the kingdom of God. Strong men are first and foremost moved by the spirit of wisdom and understanding the power God has given us to withstand the manipulation of the rulers of this world. And God is testing us. On 2021, it's going to be a bigger test than 2020. And I tell you that right now, don't you fear a single thing. The more pressure the church is under, the more light there is shining. You don't need the power of God if you got it all together. Try to feed a family when you have no money and nothing to go by. I tell you what, you start hanging on to the Lord for dear life. But as long as we have still a little money available, you know, who needs the Lord? Almost said something I should not say. I'll be honest with you. And just let you know, I haven't started my sermon yet. Because when we read verse 19, that we have to know what the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us is who believe. Listen, according to the working of his great might, not ours, his. And how did he prove it that he's got it? That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Listen, that same resurrection power is still at work. You know what that means? How many of you know the principalities and powers who rebel against God? Do you think if they would have had the possibility, they would have liked to keep Jesus in the grave? And you know, the first one who would have not consented to letting him be raised is the religious leaders. We object. We don't want to let that guy get out. He was a troublemaker when he was here. Can you imagine when he comes back out? He's a bigger troublemaker. We don't want him. But that resurrection power cannot be withstood, period. This is the power that spoke and put everything into existence. And now the Christians are sitting here and, oh, I think a mask maybe will do. Baloney stuff. For those of you who always say science, let me tell you, real science has been downgraded in 2020. What we have heard and people say is science is not science. That's fake garbage. That's political stuff. Masks have never worked and never will. Social distancing never works and never will. How can I say so? If that would have worked, like Dr. Fauci told us in March, we would be out of that mess a long time ago. Now that would be real science. I would love to preach that sermon in a church where they're filled with a mask. Oh man, I would have to have a bodyguard. But I don't make my mistakes. If God wants, I may will be just popping back up. This is the greatest hour for the church. Do you get it? We haven't had an opportunity like we have now for hundreds of years. God gives us the greatest opportunity to let him do a work the world is so desperate to see. And he lays everything bare. But Paul said, if you have your eyes open and your ears open, that you can see how he works. And the proof is that he raised him from the dead. By the way, the proof that we are not in fear the reason why we're not in fear, why we don't care where this world is going, is because the power which raised Jesus from the dead is living in you and me. And listen to this. I love the next one, 21. Jesus is far above all rule. What? Ooh, I think we should email that to Washington, D.C. far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You make a period right there and say, that is enough for me to go on with boldness. Jesus is above every name. There is no name ever given among men that is as powerful as his. There's no rule, no authority, no power, no dominion, nothing that can withstand Jesus Christ. May come what come, doesn't matter. Chuck Swindoll sent a little devotional, which I have subscribed, because he has so much insight into simple living, trusting God. And on December 31st, this is what he said, and I love it. He's more in the philosophical than in the spiritual here, but it fits perfectly. A new year is smiling at us with 12 months of the unknown. I feel like we're sitting on the beach. He must be on the beach. We're not. We don't have a beach here, but that's okay. An entire ocean of possibilities, including both sun-drenched days and a few storms with howling winds and giant waves stretched out across the uncharted waters. If you and I let ourselves, we could become so afraid of the potential dangers that we would miss the adventure. He goes on to say, becoming a couch potato is an option. You'd look toward the horizon, entertain a few thoughts that start with, someday. But then lean back and just keep looking and longing. Hawaii would never have been discovered had everyone chosen to sit tight and stay with the sure thing. He goes on to say, sandwiched between January the 1st and December 31st are 12 exciting yet unlived months of opportunities. Challenges brought on by changes await us. We will be shoved out of our comfort zones and required to respond. We can do so positively or negatively, with optimism or with pessimism. Even the familiar beach we have gotten used to is in for some changes, forcing us to leave our spot, or the pew, for that matter, and accept new surroundings. If you are not careful, you'll be so preoccupied with complaining, you'll miss your golden moment to grow a little, to make some new discoveries, to switch from being a passive sitter on the beach to becoming an active participant in the adventure beyond the familiar. End of quote. Well said. Most people juice the potato. Just sitting there. The government will send me a check. How many of you got the stimulus money? Come on. How many of you got the stimulus? Don't be afraid. I got it. I looked it up. Yeah, I got it. I always said I never got anything from the government except this year or last year. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Money coming from the trees. I never believed I see trees. The question is, who is paying for it? That would be the potato sitting at home. Sitting at home. Just send me the money. It doesn't take any faith, does it? Oh, by the way, if you don't like the money, just put them in the offering basket. I forgot to tell you that. When the Apostle Paul is telling us that Jesus rules it all, we have some obligations. Rulership takes initiative. And how does he rule? Through his people. We have a golden moment to grow, to quote Chuck Swindoll. How many of you know that growing is painful? And it is that which we don't want. But Paul said, I don't cease to give thanks to God, so that all these things will happen. Looking back at 2020 and trying to analyze what happened, not just in our own country, but around the world. How many of you know? It could put some fear into you. Just analyzing what's going on. But I think the unknown is even more fearful for a lot of people. How do I know? We're fighting right now an enemy which is unknown. We can't see it. You know, it's called a virus, you know. We can't see it. And somebody can tell us what that is. And we shut the whole economy down. I've never seen a dumber thing in my life. If we are living long enough to read some history books 20, 30 years from now, the next generation has my go-ahead to tell what kind of idiots we are believing that garbage. Write a few books. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is definitely not at work. There's a supernatural battle raging, and most of you know that because you're sitting long enough under my teaching. And when we hear those things hitting us, we forget that Jesus has all the power, and we're forgetting that this is primarily a spiritual battle, and that the principalities and powers lining themselves up, who is going to rule the world? It was the whole theme behind the Lord of the Rings. Instead of having a principality and power, they had the ring. Because in the old days, the one who wore the ring called the shots. That's when we get married. I normally tell the man, watch out before you put that ring on the finger. They never believe me until it hits them. He warned us, but we were dumb enough not to see it. You know, we have, by design, and the design is that we go into a default mechanism. We have let principalities and powers rule our thinking, when Jesus is the one that should have that place. You know what the Bible calls that? Idolatry. These are other gods. These are Elohims. These are spiritual beings. And we listen to them. This is why Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Because he knows the spiritual battle that's raging. When we listen to those lies and we're going to act according to these lies, we are actually worshiping by default Elohims and don't trust God. This is not an easy matter. There are certain guidelines in the Bible which we cannot ignore without having to pay for it. It will cost us dearly. I tell the people, I don't have to lie to you, I sleep good every night. Every night. My wife can attest to that. Sometimes she starts praying for resurrection, she thinks I'm dead. I sleep so quiet. Do you know why? I go to bed with that last thought, God is in control. I get up in the morning and I know God is in control. My day is going to be an adventure, and I don't know what the adventure is all about, but I know he's in control. That's how Jesus wants us to live. Oh, but Pastor, you have no idea. I don't need your ideas. I have God's ideas. The supernatural battle is raging immense. I give you quickly a few scripture verses. And for you, hardly up there. I know you're looking at my outline, you shake your head and say, where is the guy? Anywhere but there. It's okay. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. This is the chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, which prophecy preachers always using. Although I tell you what, in 2020, these guys were so off, and in 2021, there will be even more off. Because man always tries to figure out what God said you will never be able to figure out. Why don't we just keep our eyes on the Lord? If he comes back tomorrow, I'm not surprised. All power is in his hands. He can come back whenever he wants to come back. Make sure you're ready. If he comes back 20 years from now, well, that's his prerogative. I'll be there ready too, if I don't go before. That's the way we ought to live. Oh, the moon is going to turn red. Look. Oh, there's so many earthquakes. That's it. So what? The earth shook many times before. I was a young boy, and I was actually born in Sarnen in Switzerland. But I grew up in Lucerne because my mom and dad moved to Lucerne. I think I was 6 years old. And we had a huge, which is a huge Catholic church where we, in Sarnen. I mean, it dominates the entire town structure, right by the lake there. Beautiful. So we had an earthquake in the 60s, early 60s. And it shook pretty good. We normally don't have earthquakes in Switzerland. But we had an earthquake. And the only damage to the churches, they had St. Peter up in the middle, on the right on top. And St. Peter decided not to stay up there. And so in the morning, there was St. Peter, all shattered in pieces. And you should have seen that morning and groaning. It's like Jesus died. It was unbelievable. Even then I thought, a guy just made this thing. So, well, get going again. Put another one up until the next earthquake. You know? We are looking at these things. Ooh, look, there's another sign. St. Peter came from his roof. It's unbelievable. So what if God would shake the Vatican? Do you know how many saints are up there? If you haven't been there, they're all surround everything. What if God would shake and they all come down? Is the world coming to an end? No, the Vatican comes to an end. The saints are, these are just idols which we make and worship these things. Our eyes need to be on Jesus. Listen what he said in Matthew 24. Let's look at verse 32. He said, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. He didn't say anything. He just learned the lesson. So here you know that Jesus is taking a worldly thing and uses as an illustration. He said, learn the lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Everybody looks at the fig tree. Oh, Israel is a sign for the fig tree. And after 70 years, okay, they came back in 1948. So 2018, the world comes to an end. That was the conclusion. What do we have now? Oh, thank you. We missed it by 3 years. And we're going to miss it a little bit more. The key there is not the tree. The key is the gates. It's at the very gates. That's the key right there in that verse. And I have yet to find a prophecy preacher who actually gets that. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Where should be our focus? On his word. That's eternal. So then Jesus goes to the cross. They crucify him. These guys can't hold him back. So he comes after 3 days out of the grave. And then he teaches them again for 40 days. And at the end, just before he goes up to heaven, he says this in Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We all know that, correct? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, I want you to do me a favor this year. Why don't you write that scripture first on a piece of paper and put them on your refrigerator? And then he says, all authority and all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And every time when you go and eat and open the refrigerator to prep the food or get a drink out of there, you go, oh, Oh, these people who are telling me to have the power, they actually don't have the power. All authority and all power in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus. Remind yourselves, there will be a lot of people coming in 2021 who will say, oh, I've got the power. I have the authority. Well, this is a big wrangling in America right now. Who's got the authority to do what? Everybody claims authority. Nobody has the guts to do anything. Do you know why? Let me make a political statement for a second. We are not on YouTube, so I don't have to worry about it. You know, they would have censored me a long time ago. Do you know why these leaders don't do the right thing? God is exposing for who they truly are. These are people who want to protect their position, not the people. Last time I looked up, I thought these are representations which we send up to Washington to represent us. What's going on? That's like pastors. What is a pastor? He's a shepherd. He shepherds his flock. Where are these shepherds? Well, we have Zoom meetings. Zoom meetings? Listen, let me tell you something. I had goats. My uncle raised sheep. I know there's not a sheep who listen to Zoom meetings. I know that for sure. I've been around there. You know when sheep get into the barn? It's when the shepherd calls. Why does he call him? He's feeding him something. That's where they go. Now, goats is a different story. We only raised goats for a season when Peter was younger because I wanted to figure out how it looks like when people are mischievous. So I analyzed the goats and I recognized there is not a fence in the wall that can keep those goats in. They were everywhere. I'm living on Highway 17. So I had this herd of goats. I said, forget the fence. Let them just go. So people call. Hey, did you see that your sheep, your goats are out? Yeah. Do you need some help? I said, no. I go outside, I whistle. Goats, why do you think I'm whistling to you many times? So I whistle, and then they all come running to the barn. Because when you whistle, there's food. You know that when we have potluck in a few minutes. That's how that works. So I learned by simply observing. That's what Jesus said with the fig tree. Just observe. You're going to learn things. That's how it works in life. So when he rose from the dead, he said, all authority and all power has been given unto me. He simply confirms what you already told them in 24. He said, I know you're already forgotten, because when I was in the grave, I was invisible to you, you did not believe that I would be back. But I told you. And now he's out, and he goes, oh, by the way, just a reminder, all authority and all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. And because of that, get off your butt and get going. That's what he said. I looked it up everywhere. I got every Greek and every Hebrew that's in the Bible. I looked it up. I couldn't find Zoom in there. I looked it up. There's no such thing. Go on Zoom. People ask me, Pastor, don't you want to do a Bible study with Zoom? No. I want to see you. I want to talk with you. But you can get sick. I can get sick anytime. I get sick sometimes just looking at people. I mean, for that, you don't have to be too careful. You know, my friend, here's the thing. You and I have decided that we are not going according to the dictates of people telling us we cannot do what God told us to do. On 2021 will be a challenge for all of us. I'm looking forward to. The more pressure they put on us, the more we stand up. The good thing is, we're living in the flyover land. Have you ever recognized we're non-existent for these people? We're in the center of it, you know. I used to be on the coast, you know. But then God said, go in the center. So here I am. I didn't understand it then. I understand it now. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the Ephesians, also said to the different churches as he wrote their letters, that the way to interact with one another is to learn from one another. Not knowledge, to observe, to learn. You know, there are a lot of people over the years, as these 30 years passed, as I'm pastoring, they tell me, oh, I'm a born-again believer. There's not an ounce of evidence the way they live. And when people, you should go out once to a pastor's conference when they open up again. They're not going to open up because, you know, the guys who normally put it on, they're all scared to death. They all love titles. And they talk about where they went to school, and the education they have. And my question is always, who did call you, God or man? Who did call you? All of us here, all of us have been called by Jesus himself to go and represent him. There is no thing in there in Matthew 28, only a few select ones should go. All of us, wherever we are, we go. We have to, listen, you have the same authority I have. You got the same Holy Spirit I have. I don't have more than you have. Somebody tells you that the people in the pews are not worth. It's a lie. You are in God's eyes as much valuable as I am. I just have a different assigned task. And we all go, and we're going to do what God tells us to do, and other people are going to watch us. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1, he said, be imitators of me as I am imitating Christ. On Zoom, you can't imitate anybody. It's not working. How many of you know anybody can go on YouTube and he looks fantastic and he's a total jerk at home? They can Zoom, they got all the lights on them. Oh man, they're looking good. Some of you go into the thing and put some color on that they look better. And if they only have the face up, you never know, you know, if they're skinny or fat. Doesn't matter, you know. They just want to look good. Everything is projected. I want to have real men looking at real men, seeing, is there anything in you, the way you walk, I can imitate? Anything. And you can't do that. This is why Satan wants to push us into a corner without meeting with one another. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Let's put it up. I read it to you. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. People stop there and say, okay, I think about it. Yeah, I think about it. I got it in my bedroom, right up there. LED lighted. I know. Yeah, I think about it. But then Paul goes on to say, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul said, hey, you know what? I came, I taught you things, you received the things, you heard things, and then you watch me if I actually do it. He said, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Don't practice what people say and are not doing. Watch them. Watch them. I told my wife when we started that nonsense in 2020, you know, and all the churches closed, and I said, the first thing I would do if I would be in charge of that church, nobody gets a salary. If you don't work, you don't get paid. Well, but they Zoom. No, 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 no. Shepherd. Shepherd. You shepherd the flock. You go ahead, the flock follows. And if they don't follow you, you're not a shepherd, you're not a leader, because you're only taking a hike. That's all you do. Leaders do not push people. Leaders lead. And if nobody follows, you shouldn't get a salary. Period. No penny out of the sheep. Why do you have the audacity to collect money from people you are refusing to lead? Should never happen. Probably going to get a few emails. That's okay. I have a delete button. To 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." This is not going to happen virtual. Did you read that? This is not going to happen virtual. I know pastors tell me, but don't go there. We are now high tech. No, high stupidity. That's what we are. People need people. We need one another. You know what? You may be stoic. You may go, "Ooh, don't give me a hug. Don't come close to me, man. You know, I get rash. Ooh, it's going to itch." Listen. In the church, they play these kind of games. Elbow? Last time I elbowed, somebody went down. Pew! We don't elbow people. We shake a good handshake. And if I know you, I don't mind to give you a hug. If it's in a brotherly and a sisterly love, godly, then it's perfect. Look once at people. When there is a disaster somewhere in the world, and somebody comes to help and rescue them, and they are so happy that you're there, do they elbow one another? The first thing you see, people who are total strangers giving one another hugs. Why? It's comforting. You can't do that. Well, I give you a Zoom hug. I Zoom it over for you. It's not going to work that way. Paul said, it's going to come in word, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of man we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Imitators. We're watching. We live with one another. This is why I love to live as a family. We know one another. You know if you're a cook or if you're honest. It's going to come out sooner or later. You say, "Well, I don't want anybody to find out how I live." Well, we're going to do it anyway. That's how we find out, correct? So if you're a cook, stop being a cook. If you lie, stop lying. If you cheat, stop cheating. And we want to have a good relationship. That's what the church family is all about. And he said, "For you received the word in much affliction." Listen, they paid for it, for standing. "With the joy of the Holy Spirit." See, just affliction doesn't mean that you are sad. Affliction is actually something that can squeeze the joy out of you. The joy of the Holy Spirit comes out of you because it's deeply seated in the heart. "So that you become an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia." And this is a region where they went through tremendous turmoil. Paul encourages them and says, "Hey guys, you don't have to worry about it. But just take it, imitate us. We have lived before you to good times and bad times, and you have seen we overcome it all, every one of them." That should be our idea, isn't it? I have only preached half. The other half is coming next week. Are you ready for next week? Keep that word gates in your mind. There is so much incredible stuff in the Bible about that word gates. It's directly linked to when Jesus comes. Incredible. Good stuff. Appetite. Are you hungry now? I mean, for the word of God. No. I know the other one I know. I'll whistle and you guys are going to be there. My challenge to all of you this morning is a pretty simple one. This is the first Sunday of 2021. I want all of you, that's my heart's desire. I can't make you, but that's my heart's desire. Young and old, all the way down. Listen, a three-year-old can understand something. A five-year-old can get something. 10-year-olds definitely can get it. And up. All of us understand all power is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is above every power. He's stronger than anybody. He's got a plan for every one of us. And it's not a bad plan. It's a good plan. And we need to see that. When things are shaking, you just stand tall. Don't be shaken, right? We are walking with Jesus through all this, to the good times and the bad times. Rejoice in the good times. Enjoy it. And when the bad times are coming, you know what? We are here to help one another and encourage one another. Whatever the plan is of God, it's a plan for us to grow and to be out in the world and make a difference. This is a year where you can shine like you have never shone before. This is a year where you can actually stand up and say, I finally have to put my faith into action. It's overcoming. It's going to be a struggle. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be a struggle. It's going to be a big struggle in your heart and in your mind to hang on to Jesus' words more than what your brain wants to tell you what you should hang on to. This world is filled with lies. And how in the world can we navigate? We need the word of God and we need one another. Are you all committed for that?
Yes.
We can't go wrong. It's that simple. So we're going to hang in there. And I think 2021 is even going to be better than 2020. And 2020 was already good for us. I'm looking forward for an awesome move of God. Do you know, I don't know if you recognize that, but do you know that we have a mini revival here in your hearts and minds and families? You probably don't know as many people as I do here, but I know most of you already. And you know, there is a revival going on. People are being revived to trust God more than the circumstances. That's revival. That when God draws you closer, when he opens your eyes, when he makes you excited about being in church, excited being the one being used by God. You want to be used by God. It's an adventure. It's not, oh, do I have to? I wanted to. And that's going to be your 2021. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Your word always inspires us. Because it is designed to inspire us. We want to thank you, Lord, that we can have the freedom here. We're living in a country where the freedom wants to be diminished by people who are working against the kingdom which you are presiding over. But we already know, Lord, there's a plan which you have laid out, and it will go exactly according to your plan. May we trust you, even when things are not looking good. We trust you. Because you've got it under control, Lord. You always had, you always will. And you told us you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to thank you for the church family you've given us. Not just those who are attending here, but those who are watching. Around the world, Lord, you have given us people who are tuning in because they physically cannot be here. May you bless them too. May you strengthen them every day. May their eyes also be on you. And wherever they are, Lord, may they seek out fellow Christians where they can encourage one another and strengthen one another. And Lord, here, right where we are, you've placed us here. There's a purpose you have for us. And the purpose which you have for us is greater than our own lives. And we thank you for making us a part of your family, for using us for your glory, having sent us out to go into all the places you want us to go, and to share the good news with people. And we thank you for that privilege. May we never falter, may we never fail, may we always go and do and present you well, so that people can watch us, imitate us as we imitate you. And for it we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, amen, amen and amen.